Glad to be in the Lord's house.
Amen.
Brother Bob said, he said, I got y'all excited. I can't hardly sing. And I thought, well, we've got something to be excited about. And, when you think about the goodness of God, it ought to make you excited. You ought to be overjoyed and just thrilled. I'm going to take some scripture this morning out of Matthew 25, very familiar parable here that Jesus is teaching to the crowd. Nonetheless, I think it's something that it's been preached many times, but I'm glad when the Lord gives a message that it's always worth. Scripture's always worth reading and preaching. So I don't believe we could wear out God's word. I think we need it every day, and I'm glad that it's new every day and it's fresh every day, and I'm thankful for that. And sometimes, we'll read this first and make some comments, and we'll get right to the heart of the message, if it's the Lord's will this morning. Jesus says this, Matthew 25, says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And you can be seated. And I've heard this scripture preached different in different times in the past, and I'm sure we all have. But really, the one thing that this past week I've been really praying about and trying to just meditate on was quite simply, sometimes I believe that we get in our lives where we go to church on a regular basis, we study God's Word on a regular basis, and we meditate, and we pray to God, and we learn things. We come to Sunday school, and your church becomes just such a big part of your life. And I believe that's a good thing. Don't hear me out on this. And I believe that when church becomes such a part of your life that sometimes the Word of God and the Scriptures that are quoted and some of the things that are read, they become just almost second nature to us. And we start thinking about what salvation is. And we take that very act of salvation and we forget how difficult that was for us to comprehend when we were lost. And when we're saved, we think that it's so easy that everyone should understand it and everyone should get it and everyone should know how to be saved. But remember when we were lost and we wondered how to be saved. And we take those things for granted once we get in this thing for a while, and we forget sometimes that there are lost people among us and around us that think that being saved is one of those things that is so difficult and so hard. And all we say was, well, all you got to do is just believe, and that's right. But we don't take the time to explain things out as to what it is that they have to believe in, why they have to believe, and how they have to believe with their whole heart. It's one thing to believe it in your mind, and it's something different to believe it in your heart. But I'm reminded in the days of, in the book of Acts, when the Bible says that Paul and Silas were in the inner prison, and Brother Andrew touched on this a little bit in his message, or maybe it was Dylan, one of them touched on this a little bit yesterday, but I thought as Paul and Silas were in the prison and everything was happening and they began to pray and they began to meditate and God began to move down in a mighty way and he broke the shackles and he broke the chains and he broke everything around him and the power and the glory of God was filled in everywhere and God was moving mightily that there was a lost man who was keeping the jail and he'd come in and he had a light and he'd come into the dark room and he said, friend, he said, what must I do to be saved? Listen, a lot of times if what we need to do is take time and Paul began to tell him about Jesus and what Jesus did at Calvary and what the blood of Christ can do. And listen, they got to believe
to the saving of their soul. It's not being saved simply coming to church. It's not being saved simply carrying a Bible. It's not being saved knowing John 3:16. It's being saved, hey listen, having the faith and believing that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. And without His shedding of blood, we were all lost and doomed for hell. And the only way of escape is to believe in Him and Him alone. We live in a world today where we got people surrounding us that say they're on their way to heaven and they believe in God. And listen, and Jesus was here in the 25th chapter of Matthew. And all of a sudden He begins to give this parable out to these people that were in the crowd. And He said, hey, the kingdom of heaven is like this. And He says that it is like 10 virgins, listen, who had gone out and they took their lamps and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. First of all, I'm going to preach it like this, and it's just how I've always heard it preached, but I'm not preaching it like it because the way I've always heard it. But listen, this is what the Lord showed me this morning, and I tried to do a little bit of studying there in the kitchen this morning before I come to the house of God. But first of all, we realize that the bridegroom is Jesus Christ. We know that He is the groom. And listen, we know that He married the church, and the church is the bride. If we look at what the church is, so then being the bride and Jesus being the bridegroom, we know there's a day coming. Hey, listen, when He's going to come back and get the church, and He's going to take the church home, Brother Chester. Listen, what Jesus was simply doing here was giving them the parable that they could relate to, because according to Jewish customs, hey, listen, whenever a bridegroom had chosen a bride, he paid the price for the bride. Hey, listen, and so he would go back to dad's house, and when he would come and collect and come together his bride to take her back home to their place, he would come with, hey, listen, all those groomsmen, you could have it, they would be with him. But the bride would have all those ladies, or those bridesmaids, if you had it in that way, context, they would be with her. Hey, listen, and so they never knew when the groom was coming, but they knew the price had been paid. The marriage was already set, and the day was coming when the groom was coming back to get the bride. Hey, listen, and oftentimes, according to the studies that I did this morning, these virgins, or these bridesmaids, or these helpers, or whatever you want to call it, they would be gathering with the bride, and they would tarry with the bride. I look at what this means for you and I. Hey, listen, what this meant was these are the ones who, hey, listen, were a part of the bride. They were part of the church. But as the born-again believer, Christ was telling them here there were 10 virgins. In other words, these were ones that were, listen, had deemed themselves ready to go. They were prepared. They thought they knew what it took to get there. But notice what happened here. Listen, it said that 5 of the virgins, they took the lamps that they had, and they had obviously at some point they had something in that lamp that would burn to shine a light. But I thought about this. Those things were physically seen. Hey, listen, they could be comprehended from the outside. But the Bible says that Christ told them that 5 of them not only had lamp with them, but the 5 wise ones, they had the oil taken with them. The oil that they had was not in the lamp at the time. The oil they had was in a cruse. It was tucked away somewhere. It was put someplace. It was safe somewhere. May not have been seen with a natural eye. Hey, listen, but it was placed somewhere that was going to get them through the midnight. But the foolish ones only had the lamp that could be seen. Listen, and when as the days went on and the hours ticked by, the Bible said that Christ told them that they began to sleep and they began to slumber. In other words, they were tarrying, they were waiting. But in all of their waiting, they got tired. In all of their waiting, something happened, and they just kind of sat down and they stopped watching. They stopped looking, and they stopped waiting. They were there to be seen. And listen, but the time wore out. You know what the Bible says? It said we ought not to get weary in well-doing. And listen, I know that if the Lord don't come today, He can come tomorrow. Hey, listen, but tomorrow then becomes today. There's a lot of folks taking salvation of the same mindset. I don't want to get saved today. I want to get saved tomorrow. The only problem is that tomorrow never comes. God's coming back today. Hey, listen, you better be ready when He comes. Because the scripture says here that when the cry went out at midnight, the bridegroom is on his way. Listen, the virgins got up, and those 10 stood up, and the ones that I believe that all of them's light was dim. Hey, listen, all of them had gotten weary. But all of a sudden, those wise virgins, their light may have been dim. They reached in somewhere. They got a hold of something that could be poured in their lamp and stir them up and light the fire so they could go out in the night and the light would shine. They could see their way. And the bridegroom who was on his way knew exactly where they were. They were waiting on him. They were ready for him. Hey, listen, and they were off doing something else. It wasn't a show to them. They had taken what they had preserved and kept, and it allowed them to go into the midnight and shine the light and be ready there when the groom showed up. What does all that mean? Well, quite simply, the groom's coming. And I know in this life we all get weary and we all get tired. We're natural, we're carnal beings. Hey, listen, these bodies, they wear out. Sometimes our zeal goes by the wayside. It does. Sometimes as Christians, hey, listen, we know the scripture says that Christ purified unto himself a people zealous of good works. I'll say this, sometimes a Christian who has been in the way for a very long time, their zeal may not always be what it was from the day they got saved. I'm not saying that to diminish anybody or demean anybody, I should say, rather, but I'm quite simply saying that because sometimes when you're in the work for a long time, hey, listen, you work for the Lord and you work and you work and you don't see results sometimes, or you work and God's still tarrying. Let me remind you, we're on God's time. We're not on our time. Hey, listen, and we might sometimes think that the Lord's waiting too long. But who are we? Hey, listen, because we don't know the plan of God. We don't know the glory of God. We don't know the righteousness of God. We don't know what God is doing in the time where our carnal mind is right here. All we see is what we want to see. But we fail to see God's plan around us. Hey, listen, and so it's not our time, it's His time. But thank God He has given us something that'll get us through the midnight.
That's right. Amen. Bless the Lord. That's right.
And all of a sudden, those wise, hey, listen, the Bible says they all slept and they slumbered. They got tired. And I'll say this, that a Christian sometimes will get tired, but when the call goes out, they're ready. These other ones got tired. They slept. I believe they were like the tares. If we took the example of what Christ was trying to tell them here, they were like some of the tares that were sown in among the wheat. They all had lamps, right? I mean, I already said that. What a lamp was is it was a vessel. And if you look it up, some of the archaeologists have dug up these lamps back in the days of biblical times and back in the Old Testament times. And really it wasn't like the lamps we see now. Now we've got those, an oil lamp to us. Sometimes you got the glass bulb and you can pour oil and you can see the oil in there and see the level and you see the wick coming up. You see all that, but that wasn't how it was. These were pottery vessels. They were vessels. You didn't see all the oil that was in. You couldn't see a level anywhere. All you saw was the lamp, and they would hold that, and it had a port on one side where you pour the oil, and there was a hole on the other side that was at an angle for the wick that would be, hey, listen, woven and tucked down in there. And they would light that wick. Hey, listen, and all you could see was this vessel with a light on it. But when the oil got low, the wick would start to go out. And then they'd have to physically check and see what was in there. They couldn't just look from the outside. There's some people trying to shine a light in the church, in their life. They're trying to shine the light in their life. I should say, and they appear good, but only them and God knows what's on the inside. And God's looking at what's on the inside. He don't care that you're out here. Hey, listen, we all have a life. We all can be seen. But it's not what can be seen that gets you there. It's what others don't see. It's what can't be comprehended. Those wise, they had that oil. Hey, listen, it wasn't something they carried out. They just tucked it away. It was, if you'll have it, it was down on the inside. And when the time come, it had it. They pulled it out and they poured it in that vessel and they were able to walk out there. But the others were saying, hey, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute, we don't have that. You need to share what you have with us. You need to give us a portion of what you have so that we can go with you. There's a lot of people trying to get to heaven today by what mom and dad has done in their life. There are folks trying to piggyback on the life of somebody else because maybe they were raised in the same household, maybe they grew up in the same neighborhood, maybe they were friends in grade school, maybe they both tried to do good, but the one had something on the inside. But they both looked okay, but the one had something and the other one didn't have it. We need to be real careful, because sometimes Satan can fool you into a state, or you can get to in a position where God will show you that you're lacking on the inside, but you'll compare your life on the outside compared to everybody around you. But it's not the outside that matters. It's what's on the inside. And when the time come and they said, hey, we need you to share with us. Hey, listen, those wise virgins, they said, we can't do that. Because we need to have, we need what we have to get us through. In other words, I can't take what I have and share it with you. But you can go get it for yourself. I want you to know something tonight or today, that you can get salvation for yourself. You don't get salvation from mom and dad. You don't get salvation from your neighbor. You don't get salvation from the ones you come to church with. You don't get salvation from the one you ride to church with. You don't get salvation from any of these. You get it straight from God. You get it straight from Him. It's through the blood of Christ. It's through His shedding of His blood that brought remission of sin. So if you ever want to have what's down on the inside, hey, listen, that'll sustain you and get you to the point where the announcement's made or the trumpet God sounds. Hey, listen, and the Bible says that with a mighty trumpet, the angel will blow. Hey, listen, it'll be proclaimed in the clouds and the sky will roll back east from the west. And the Son of God, the bridegroom, shall descend on a cloud with great glory. He's not stepping foot here, Jim Perry. Hey, listen, He's just coming to be seen of everybody. And those that have what they need on the inside are the ones that are going to rise up to meet Him in the air and forevermore be with the Lord. And those five virgins that were wise walked out in the darkness of the midnight with that fresh oil in their lamp. And they said, we've got what it takes. We've tarried long. We've waited here. And the bridegroom has come. We're ready to go. And the other ones were off somewhere doing something else because they didn't take the time. How hard was it to go buy oil? Probably not hard. I mean, if the parable is right, I mean, the studies I did that most of the oil they burnt was olive oil. There were some oils later down as progression of time, but really if we consider that, and we consider where they were in Jerusalem, and we consider the abundance of olives and the olive trees and everything that was there, and we consider the prominence of the olive plate in the lives of these individuals and the agriculture and the thing that they did, that very act of buying olive oil was not a difficult act. And I said that to say this, being born again is not a difficult thing to do. It is quite easy. But you got to make time to do it. You got to take time to get things right in your life. And it's not something that's worth putting off tomorrow in hopes that you get there to have the chance then. Because just like here, Christ was telling them, the bridegroom could come anytime. It was at His discretion when He was ready. But the bride had to be ready all the time because she never knew when He was coming. I want to say this, the church of God, those that are born again, I got ready the day I got saved. Amen. I was ready. I'm ready now. And I've been ready ever since. And so when the call is made, hey, listen, and all of a sudden the trump of God sounds, I'm going to be ready to go. I want you to know, some of you might be here today, and you might say, well, I think I'm ready. I'm not 100% sure, but hopefully when that time comes, I'll be ready. I'll say this, these five foolish virgins were in the same boat that you're in right now. And they waited in hopes that they would be ready, in hopes that they would make it, in hopes that He would come early enough that they would just kind of sneak their way in. But God knew where they were all the time. And when the bridegroom came, those five, they were out trying to do something. They were trying to buy oil. Notice what happened. The Bible says he came and he got them. The five wise virgins, and he took them. And then, but that wasn't the end. Because it says the foolish ones come. It says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. So they went into the marriage. Another part of this, as we look at what happened here, we find that what this means to us and what it means in this parable, and Jesus was relating it here to them, is the bridegroom would go and get the bride. And he had his party, bridal party, the ones were with him, all of heaven, all of the angels, and everything there. And the bride is all the saints of God, the church of God. Hey, listen, that has washed and made white the robes in the blood of the Lamb. He has come back and he has taken them. And so the bridegroom would come and get the bride. They would go back and enter into the marriage feast and enter into the house. And the groom would have someone there. Much like today we consider someone standing at the door. And so they were there, and whenever the individuals would come to the ceremony or come to the marriage feast or the feast, wherever they were having it, it was similar to us today as having a reservation. You come in, it's your name, yeah, I'm here, right here. You come on in. You part of the party, yep, I'm right here. I got my wedding garment on, I'm ready, I'm part of it. Yep, come on in. That's exactly what Jesus was relating here. And so when everyone that had the invitation, everyone that had made their way back with the groom, everyone that was included with the bride, had all ushered in, the groom would look to the one at the door and he'd say, "Now shut the door." And no matter what happens, no matter how many pleas are made, no matter who comes to the door, everyone that is invited, everyone that has been ready, I know who they are, everyone is here. Whoever comes, you tell them no, because they weren't invited. And so that's what Jesus relates here. The door was closed. All of them come in. There's coming a day when God's going to call all of us together in heaven. Right now we talk about the gates of heaven being wide open. Hey, listen, I believe that that wide is the road to hell right now. And hey, listen, broad is that gate. The Bible tells us that. It says narrow is the way from earth to heaven. Hey, listen, but the gate is open. For Christ is the door. And he said, if I've opened the door, no man can shut it. But what else did he say? He said, if I shut the door, no one can open it. And here in this parable, they'd all come in. And all of a sudden, the groomsman said, that's it. Shut the door. And the ones that were foolish come up to the groom or come up to the party and they begin to knock. Hey, we're part of it. We're part of it. We're ready to come in. And there was a groom. I don't know you. I didn't know you. You're going to have to leave. You're not coming in. There's a lot of people right now. They're in the crowd. They think they're looking good, living their life close to what they think a Christian ought to be, but they don't have it on the inside. I may not be able to tell what you have on the inside, but I'm not the one going to shut the door someday. I know what I have, and I know that when the roll is called, as Brother Bob preached, hey, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I don't know about you, but I'll be there. You need to know for yourself. And I'll say this, that God don't make any mistakes. He's not going to take the bride home and forget one down by the roadside. Hey, listen, he's not going to make any errors when he calls us home. Those that have the oil in their lamp, those that have been spirit-filled, those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, those are the ones going in. And you can stand on the outside and you can beg all you want to. And you can plead all you want to. And you can say, oh God, I'm ready. I went to church. I did all these things. And he'll say, depart from me. I didn't know you. I gave you chance after chance after chance, but you said no. I gave you every opportunity, but you turned me away everywhere you turned. now all of a sudden you reach a time in your life and the gates close. It's too late. And those individuals lift their eyes out of the depths of hell and cry, Lord, Lord, just hear me. Just plead, let me plead with you. Just hear me. It's too late. The door's shut. It's closed. Don't matter what you look like on the outside. What do you got on the inside? What I got on the inside is going to take me home, Chester. I believe what I have on the inside will fellowship with brothers and sisters that have the same thing on the inside. All there's scriptures for all of that. I mean, how do you know you pass from death into life? You love the brethren. I mean, there's a love there. It goes back and forth. Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We know that. So a good tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. We know that. We know where your treasures is, there's your heart will be also. If you have pleasure in the world and you're always seeking the world and you're seeking for the things in the world, for the pleasures in your life, and you say that there's, hey, listen, and all the pleasure that you have is always sought in the world, chances are you've just got something for show on the outside. Because where the heart is, that's where your treasures is. Hey, listen, I don't know about you, but I there are things in this world. I'm like Brother Bob. There are things in this world that are very pleasurable to me. I like going out in nature. I like just sitting and listening to the birds. I like going out this morning, just all the beauty of God that He made. I mean, it's not in the things that man has come up with. It's not in the games they've come up with. It's not in all these things that man. The greatest pleasures I get in life are the blessings that God has given me in life. The joy of being in the house of God. The treasure there is in feeling the presence and the Spirit of God. The blessings that He bestows that come from above. You want to know why those are so joy, I mean, you want to know why I love those so much? Because my heart and my treasures are in heaven. I've laid them up over there. I'm ready to go. But to you that are like these foolish virgins, they slept, they slumbered, they waited. Wait another day. Wait another day. I believe they just got, they wasted their life away. It's sad. Preached a lot of funerals last year, and y'all know that. I'm not going to get into that. Preached a lot of funerals over the years. And it's sad sometimes to be at a grave, be at a casket. Sometimes it's people that lived a long life. Sometimes it's people that haven't lived very long at all. Some of them been older than I am. Some of them been younger than I am. And there's just a comfort and a joy and standing before someone who has got that oil in their lamp and they're ready to go. And then there's those that there was no profession and people struggled. They just struggle. I mean, they want you, preacher, I mean, it's almost like they just want you to preach them into heaven. They were a good person. No matter if you were a good person. But they did. They weren't mean to anybody. No matter if you were mean to anybody. What was on the inside? What was there? Were you just a show? I mean, it really, you could live 100 years, but if all you are a show, you've wasted your life. I mean, Christ Himself said, if a man gained the whole world and lose his own soul, what would he give in exchange for his soul? I mean, He knew the importance of what it come down to. You could gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, what you gain means nothing. You've wasted your life. Don't be like the foolish. Listen, we can look. I can look today and say we all have a lamp. I mean, if we liken the lamp to our lives, right? I mean, that's the light of our life. We all have a light. We all have a life. But what are you putting in it? What are you putting in it? I mean, what I'm putting in it is salvation from God. I'm putting the blood of Christ, the Holy Ghost, in my life. so that I know when midnight comes, when death comes, I'm going to have what is necessary on the inside of my life to take me to the other side. It's going to get me through the door because I'm a child of God. But when you get there, is your light going to go out? God's going to be looking. God's going to be looking for the blood of Jesus, the blood of His Son. It's not hard. Salvation is not a hard thing. Satan will lie to you, make you think it's all virtually impossible. But I've tried to preach and we try to tell people salvation is one step. It's one prayer. It's just a simple act of believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died for your sins. And you put your faith in Him to the saving of your soul. It's not a head knowledge. It's from the heart. Believe it with all your heart. And you can be saved. When that Philippian jailer come in and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" They preached Jesus. When Paul ran up against somebody and he said, "What have you been baptized?" They said, "We've been baptized with the baptism of John." And he said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Ghost?" And they said, "We've not so much heard that there is such a thing." And he said, "Well, what were you baptized to?" And they said, "We was baptized under John." And he said he preached Jesus to them. When Philip went in the desert and the eunuch was there, he was reading the scriptures out of Isaiah. And he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I understand? Let some man show me." Philip climbed up in the chariot. What did he do? He preached Jesus to him. You see the pattern? How was I saved? Because somebody preached Jesus to me. Amen. How are people saved? Because someone has preached Jesus unto them. So you must be saved. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. Or you're not saved at all. While we stand today.
Here's the blessed Savior.
How about it?
Calling me a friend.
Are you trying to shine good in your life, or do you have what is necessary on the inside of your heart? Down in your heart, in your life. Do you have that oil? Do you have that Spirit of God? Do you have that salvation from above? That fresh oil, that anointing that only comes from God. I mean, that is the comforter that God promised. It abides with us. It stays with us. It never gets old. Never wears out. You're going to be like one of the foolish. You're going to try to debate, beg, plead with God. About the destination of your soul. About all eternity when God knows everything you are. And what you are. And what you have on the inside. And the only thing He's required for somebody to get into heaven is simply to believe. Have faith. Call on the name of the Lord. Repent. Be born again. I'm going to bring it to Jesus. He'll give you rest. But you got to come. come right now. We were all foolish at one time. That's what Paul told him in the book of Titus, I believe it was. But all he said, but then the love of God toward man did appear. I'm glad for the appearing of the love of God. We're born again through the blood of Christ.
Jessica and Josh, someone have a testimony thing on your heart this morning?